What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Get Over Yourself podcast, a podcast dedicated to help stopping your self-limitations and help you achieve your dreams. I'm your host, Brandon Davis. For everybody watching and listening out there today, as you can see, I got my new friend with me, Cyrus, or as you guys might know him by, the mental level. Cyrus is a very unique individual because he has transformed his social media presence into something of an uplifting platform. A lot of times on social media, we see a lot of garbage, and it's not necessarily things that are going to uplift us inside of our lives. The reason why I was so intrigued with Cyrus's content is he posts meditations and mindfulness strategies so we can kind of reflect on our days and our lives and kind of what makes us happy inside of our lives. And it's a very calming presence because, as everyone knows, when you're scrolling on social media and you're going through all that garbage, sometimes it feels good to just be uplifted a little bit. Cyrus, you currently have around 350,000 followers on TikTok and around 11,000 subscribers on YouTube. So you definitely know what you're talking about. And that's what we're going to dive into today's episode. So Cyrus, welcome to the podcast.
Appreciate that, Brandon.
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited to get to hear from you personally, Cyrus, both to hopefully practice inside of my life and then some of the listeners can take a lot of what you say today into their own account and kind of apply it how they need to, how they see fit inside of their lives. But guys, with all that being said, let's jump into today's episode. So Cyrus, I want to first get started by coining this term, the mental level, right? It's kind of what you use as your handles across all your various social media platforms. And why did you come up with this? Why is it the mental level?
That's a good question. I was just brainstorming names with a friend, and that seemed to be the one that stood out for some reason. I guess because I just want to encourage people to be on the best level that they can be mentally. But I mean, somebody pointed out recently that it's more of like the emotional level, because even though people go back to the mental stuff and people focus on, you know, their mental health and all that's totally valid, a lot of what I encourage people to point themselves towards is what's going on with themselves emotionally, since a lot of what's going on with your mental health is the root of that is your emotions. So someone was like, you should have called yourself the emotional level. I'm like, that doesn't have the same ring to it. So,
well, that's awesome, man. And how long you've been on this journey now where you've kind of been using social media to a good, like I mentioned in the intro, not a lot of people do it these days. A lot of it's just pure garbage. So what got you started on it?
Yeah. Oh, to be honest with you, I thought I had this impression of TikTok as a terrible platform that was destroying the attention span of the youth. I was like that old man screaming, get off my lawn. But then somebody pointed out, like, you know, the stuff that you do, the meditations that would maybe be good to kind of break up the monotony of a lot of the content that's out there and kind of help reground people. So I had a good friend of mine suggest that I get on TikTok and really encouraged me to do that. And I wanted to create more long form meditation content because I feel like a lot of meditation content is very vague and difficult for a lot of people to connect to. So I wanted to create really like simple practical exercises that people can practice on a daily basis on the YouTube. And then I figured the TikTok would be a good way to drive traffic to that. And so far it has been. So
absolutely. And I can totally attest to exactly what you're saying. The monotony of just scrolling on social media. And granted, not everything is bad on social media. There's plenty of uplifting pieces of content. But one thing that really struck
your algorithm.
depending on your algorithm, right? Yeah. But one thing that struck your content specifically for me is I felt like it actually worked. And there's plenty of motivational speeches. There's plenty of mindfulness practices. There's, you know, there's all these like things that should be good on social media that don't necessarily work. But when I first came across your content, I was sitting there and I was thinking at first, like, I'm not a huge, how do I put this? I'm very rushed inside of my life. I wouldn't say I'm a person who sits back a lot of times and kind of can just take a chill pill. Like, I'm always going, going, going. And so I appreciate when I do sit back and kind of just relax and actually am mindful about what's going on around me, what I've accomplished that day and that week and that month, in all of 2023 thus far. You know, I don't do that as often as I probably should. And so when I came across one of your videos, And maybe you could walk the audience through it a little bit. I'll botch it a little bit, but basically you told me, all right, I want you to try and focus on two things at once. I'm going to have you focus on, say it was like your fingertips and your toes. And then it was like your elbows and the top of your head. And as I was listening to that video and I was kind of picturing inside of my head, I closed my eyes for it. And I was like, all right, fingertips to toes, head to elbows, right? I'm kind of getting into the motions of it. And I was like, wow, this is like actually calming me down right now. Something that I can't say all the time. So Cyrus, walk me through a little bit about your process behind some of these mindfulness meditations, and maybe you can offer an example of one for the audience today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I would be happy to. I think, first of all, people are in their heads basically 24/7, especially these days. And so these exercises are, they get a lot of feedback, like what you said, where people are kind of shocked or surprised, where they're like, wow, I found this so calming. And it's because it's a little break where you're focused on your body. You're grounded in your body. Like Eckhart Tolle, the guy who wrote The Power of Now, he calls that the inner body. And those exercises that you're seeing on TikTok are just a way to draw your attention towards that automatically without overthinking it too much. Ironically, people will be like, am I doing this right? Maybe meditation isn't for me. I can't stop my brain, blah, 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 blah. But if you just focus on the intention in your body, like the example I often give on TikTok is like, if you or your audience feels as they're listening right now, like I'm not literally just saying this as a hypothetical, like if you feel your fingers right now, you probably notice that there's like a buzzing sensation in your fingers as you place your attention on them. I mean, some people are probably looking at them right now. You don't have to look at your hands. You can just imagine like you have a spotlight and you're placing your attention on your hands and you notice there's like a buzzing or tingling sensation. And some people are like, oh, are my hands okay? No, it's just you're placing your attention on your hands. And you notice the longer you keep them there, the longer you'll notice buzzing. And if you keep your attention there on your hands and fingers, you might start to notice your blood pumping in your hands and fingers. And you might notice the tingling and the blood pumping. And if you keep your attention there, you'll notice that you can maybe even start in this moment to put 100% of your attention on your hands and fingers. Like if you feel comfortable and it's safe to do that in this moment, just place 100% of your attention on your hands and fingers, almost as if your mind is becoming your hands and fingers. And you might notice thoughts or distractions pop up in the background, but you almost can imagine like you have a spotlight and you're keeping your hands and fingers front and center, and you're keeping your attention flexed on your hands and fingers in the front and center of your attention. And you might notice now, if you've been doing it, you've been doing it for a good 10 or 20 seconds now, and you might notice that there's like a couple moments in there where your mind has just gone silent because you've just absorbed your attention in something else. In this case, the life energy that's in your body already that you just normally don't pay attention to. And to your question, people are like, well, I'm rushed. I got stuff to do. What's the point in slowing down and doing nothing? You're not doing nothing. You're training your attention. It just happens to be invisible. You don't have like a little laser that comes out of your eyes that indicates that you're flexing your attention, but you can very much feel the effects. So there is utility in practicing these things. And if anybody's like, oh my gosh, my mind is in my hands right now, don't worry. Don't worry. You could just take a deep breath, relax your muscles and place your attention on the sound of our voices or whatever you want to. And you'll kind of naturally find your way back into your natural rhythm. But the point is doing these exercises gives your mind a break, gives your body a break, allows you to slow down, rebalance yourself and be even more effective in the productive things that you're pursuing.
And Cyrus, you know, I appreciate that a lot because I feel as if the majority of the listeners here on the Get Over Yourself podcast, it's college age students, people my age who are trying to make a life for themselves, trying to figure out what they want to do, trying to figure out how they can become the best version of themselves. And with that being said, a lot of them are like me where we're go, go, go. We're trying to get ahead of everyone else in our schools, in our classes, in our jobs. You know, we're trying to become the person that we want to be inside of our lives. But once again, if they're a lot like me, they don't take the time to actually sit back and reflect on those things. In fact, as you were going through that kind of little guided meditation, focusing on your fingers and whatnot, I was picturing in my own life, thinking back and saying, you know, a few years ago, if you would have told me to just sit here and relax for a few minutes, I would have thought I was the laziest person on earth. Like I seriously had that kind of mindset where I thought, if I am not doing something to progressively, or I guess I should say physically doing something that will progress me, whether I'm reading or working out, whatever it may be in that moment, if I wasn't physically doing it, then I was completely failing the moment. And that was my mindset for the longest time. But it wasn't until maybe even the past year and a half where I've been able to sit back and realize, like, no, I need the time. My body, my mind especially, needs the time to sit back and kind of reflect on what's been going on, kind of feel those sensations. And I really appreciate how you worded that, to draw my attention towards something. It's not like I'm doing nothing. I'm mastering my brain so I can actually focus on something. In a world where we have so much dopamine all around us through social media and TV and the flashing lights and the billboards all around us, I think that's one of the most crucial skills we can gain. So speak to that a little bit, Cyrus. Speak to why it's important to have that kind of attention and what it can do for us inside of our lives.
Yeah, those are great reflections and great questions, Brandon. I mean, I think that a healthy and positive and functional way to think of these things are they're mental muscles and you're working out your mental fitness. So your focus is a muscle, and people think they can focus, but they can't sustain focus. They can't keep their focus on something very long most of the time these days, on average, let's say. And that's because people don't train themselves to sustain their focus on one thing at a time, unless they're using Adderall or Ritalin or, you know, whatever the kids use these days, which is fine. If it's a choice that they've made and, you know, like it's something that they're using temporarily, but it's not a good long-term strategy, generally speaking, in most cases, when there are alternatives to naturally train your focus and attention. And even for people who aren't necessarily, dealing with ADHD or severe attention deficit issues, we're in a culture right now where like everything's fighting for your attention. And so even people who don't have ADHD are mimicking some of the symptoms of ADHD simply because everything's grabbing your attention. And so basically everyone can benefit from this. It's training your attention, training your focus, training yourself to sustain focus. And that massively gives you an advantage in every area of life. Like, people often are averse to meditation or mindfulness because they're like, well, I don't like crystals, or I don't like spirituality, or that stuff is woo-woo. And they associate it with that. And they're like, no, I'm a hustler, or I'm someone who works hard, or I'm someone who gets shit done. But basically, like, you know, I'm someone who does stuff, not someone who sits around and thinks about their spiritual. That's fine if you're not that type of person, but you want to understand that you can separate those two things. And the reality of it is, even if you don't get into meditation or mindfulness for spiritual reasons, you might end up entertaining those spiritual reasons or philosophical or existential questions down the line as you go down that journey. That's fine too. But an entry point into this type of stuff is totally fine to do it for worldly reasons. In other words, meditation and mindfulness will make you better at your creative pursuits. It'll make you more creative. It'll make you better in your relationships. It'll make you a better listener. It'll make you more able to be absorbed in your work, to be productive, to be mindful of your schedule, of organization, of basically everything that you could possibly do from a productivity standpoint and from a life management and success standpoint, is going to receive a massive boost from you training your attention. And it's quite logical. It's not like a mystery why. It's instead of your mind running the show and you being driven to go on a sprint in terms of what you're doing and then burn out and crash, you can find a consistent balance because you're in control of your mind and emotions, and they're not running the show. Your awareness is, and you know, most of the top achievers and the top performers in any industry, they meditate, like the top of the top. And that's how they get to that place, is they have a mechanism by which to manage their mind and emotions at a consistent high level. So I would encourage people to think of it in terms of utility and in terms of practicality, because first and foremost, that's what it is.
So two questions stemming off of what you just said there, Cyrus. Number one, it took a long time for me to realize that this could be a strength and it wasn't a weakness whatsoever. I think that's like my main point I want to drive right there, is it really is a strength and not a weakness. So with that being said, I kind of just fell into it because I'm a very faithful man. I'm a Christian. And so I fell into it when I'd read my scriptures, when I kind of pray. I consider that a big form of meditation in my life. It's just kind of my prayers and whatnot. But I fell into that category or this practice of mindfulness meditation solely because I was already doing something, and I just kind of recognized it was coherently one inside of the other. But for somebody who is like me, who isn't necessarily Christian or doesn't have like a sort of base faith that they can practice daily, first question is, how can they start getting used to the process of actually, you know, performing meditation and seeing the results and whatnot? And then the second question is, how can somebody, obviously it's impossible to completely turn off your mind and focus solely in. Maybe you could do it for a couple seconds, but like you mentioned, when we were actually doing the practice, maybe it was 10, 15 seconds. How can somebody start getting more and more deep into their meditation so they can lose the distractions of the world and just focus for that 30 seconds, for that minute, for that 5 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we can tie those two questions together. So for someone who wants to start a meditation practice, I would suggest getting on Insight Timer, because Headspace and Calm are, you know, they're great apps, but they're often like short little meditations, whereas Insight Timer is a free app and it has the largest library of free meditations in the world. So it's just a massive resource that not a lot of people are aware of. Like, it has a huge user base, but it tends to be people who already meditate. And, you know, so if you're not familiar with it, Insight Timer, as in like having an insight and setting your clock to a timer. So get on that. I'm also on there. If you want to check out my meditations, I'm on YouTube as well at The Mental Level. But basically, you want to start with something guided so you know what you're doing. You can do a course. I just put a course on Insight Timer. That's, I think it's called, you can find it through my page if you look at The Mental Level under the courses tab. But I think it's called Live Your Life in Flow State, Small Chunking Your Way to Meditating 1 Hour a Day, which when people first hear it, they're like, I can't even meditate for 5 minutes, let alone an hour.
Definitely.
But the principle there, and to answer your second question, is meditation and mental training is similar to going to the gym, in the sense that if you go to the gym for 5 or 10 or 20 minutes, you've just warmed up your muscles. And if you say, oh, okay, I'm good, that was the workout, and you leave, you just left all the real gains on the table, because all the gains come at the point at which you hit a point of discomfort, and then you keep going past that point. You're challenging yourself. You're getting outside of your comfort zone. So meditation is the exact same. What most people do is they sit down, they do 5 or 10 minutes, and they're like, yeah, okay, my mind's not really slowing down too much, but I feel a little bit more relaxed and cool. Yeah, that was my meditation for the day. That's reasonable. I don't have time to sit around all day. They get up. Why did they really get up? They think they got up because they have stuff to do, which is true to an extent, maybe, but they got up because their mind was still going, or they were uncomfortable in their body. And there's an element of just sitting through that, being aware of the discomfort in your body, being aware of your mind going crazy and telling you, oh, you got to get up, you got to get up. And at that point, if you continue to sit through that, there's a separation effect that occurs where you start to realize that you're the observer of your thoughts and emotions. And then if you keep going past that point, if you invest a little bit more time, like if you go past the 20-minute point, to 30 minutes, 40 minutes. A lot of people have experience, single or couple experiences, where they're like, yeah, I meditated for an hour one time and it was crazy. And it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. And I'll say like, well, why haven't you done it since then? And they're like, I don't have time for that. So the point is like, you go past that point, past the 20-minute, 30-minute point, and there's such separation from your mind and thoughts that you're able to see it clearly. And you're able to sustain that meditative state where your mind's not necessarily off, but you're just not identified and intertwined with your thoughts anymore. You're just able to step back and watch them, and they can go past you. And if you stabilize that, then you take that into your day consistently. So instead of being distracted by your thoughts and your emotions that are going all over the place like a storm, you're just able to step back and watch it all. It doesn't mean all the noise is gone. It just means you're not controlled by it anymore. And so I would say start with a 15, 20 minute meditation practice using guided tracks on a daily basis. Think of it like mental fitness, like going to the gym, like brushing your teeth, just something that you do every day to be at your best. And then once you've gotten the feel for guided sessions, once you have a rhythm with it and you're up and riding the bike, then start to practice some days by yourself, right? So say you're like, oh, I really like it when I focus on my hands and my breath, right? Then try to do a session one day where you just sit in silence with no guided track and you do 15, 20 minutes coming back, no matter how many times your thoughts pull you away, to your hands and your breath. And then just see how that goes. And that's its individual muscle group. So in the same way you would go to the gym with a personal trainer and they push you further than you would be able to by yourself, you want to do some days without the personal trainer, right? And that's going to be harder at first because they're not there to push you and show you perfect form. But eventually, if you keep doing that in tandem with the personal training sessions, you're going to get strong in that individual solo workout muscle group category, so to speak. So I would say that in terms of getting the practice going, getting the individual and the guided sessions going on a daily basis as you go along. And then when you think about the long term, a lot of people plateau, just like they plateau at the gym. So instead of stagnating and saying, oh, I'm only doing, you know, I do my like 15 minute or 20 minute meditation. After you've been doing that for a couple months or whatever, start to do longer sessions. Even if it's only once or twice a week, start to do a 45 minute session. Start to do an hour long session when you have time on a weekend or something like that.
Keep kind of growing from it.
Keep growing, because on those longer sessions, you're going to see, you're going to have incredible experiences where you'll feel like a natural high, right? Like almost like you're on drugs, but it's completely natural because your mind has just gone quiet, and that natural state of well-being that you feel in the absence of the stress creating thoughts that are constantly turning around your head in every waking moment. You're like, wow, this is how I feel underneath all that. And then if you can stabilize that, then your life is suddenly, you're in a flow. You're, everything's easy. You're joyful. You have so much more control and influence over how you feel, what you think, how you relate to people, and how you manage your life on a day-to-day basis. It puts so much power and control in your hands. So it's such an incredibly powerful tool, especially when you do those longer sessions, even if not every day, just on a consistent basis.
When did you get started on your kind of meditation journey? Is this something you've kind of done your entire life? Did your parents grow up doing it, so you kind of just follow their footsteps? Or did you start this journey recently? Where are you at on it? And where can you see yourself before you started versus now?
It's very different. I mean, I'm 33 now, and I started in my teenage years because I had severe ADHD, and it left me almost, you know, non-functional when it came to education or school. I wasn't able to focus in class at all. And quite frankly, I felt stupid because I couldn't engage with the material that I was being taught. And there were certain things that I could hyper-focus on, which if anyone is familiar with ADHD, that's kind of how it tends to work. If you really care about something, you can deeply hyper-focus on it. But if you don't, then you don't care at all, which most people would say, yeah, like even a non-ADHD person would say, well, that's true. I can focus on things that I care about and not, but it's magnified in opposite directions to an intense degree for truly ADHD people. And so I was so frustrated that I wanted to get a prescription for Ritalin. And I was, I don't know, 16 at the time, maybe. And my parents were just like, we don't believe in drugs. And, you know, we love you, kid, but we're not going to sign off on the permission slip for the drugs. And so I just had to struggle through it. And then I found meditation and I said, okay, this is a way to naturally train my focus. And because of how much I was struggling with the ADHD, I had to put in an equal amount of effort on the meditation front to really master that skill. And it is a skill. It's just like learning to play a sport or something like that. There's a lot of parallels in terms of the way you master your attention and your mind. And so I had to put so much work into that, that now I'm able to more easily communicate it to other people because I really understand the nuances of it from experience, you know?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And it sounds like throughout your journey, granted, it didn't all start kind of where you're at today, and you're still going to progressively get better about your own mindfulness and your own meditation practices and whatnot.
Totally.
So I think something we could all sum up for everyone listening to the Get Over Yourself podcast today is, no matter if you've already been practicing meditation inside of your lives for years, maybe you just got recently started, or you've never tried it once inside of your life, I think the moral of the story is, whatever part of the journey you're on, recognize it and recognize that you can actually start. I always leave challenges for everyone on the Get Over Yourself podcast. And I feel like this is the perfect challenge for today's episode, because what's the point of listening? Why are you that far along in the podcast today if you're not actually going to take something out of it? So make that your challenge today, guys. Whether you start with 30 seconds or 5 minutes or however long you can actually get to, make that your challenge for yourself. When you're done with this episode, or when you have the time where you can actually sit down and not stress about a million other things you're doing, but you can actually sit down and reflect about what's going on and practice everything that Cyrus has taught us here today, try it. That's my challenge for you guys today. And Cyrus, as we're coming up on the time where we close out today's episode of Get Over Yourself podcast, I want to ask you the final question that I ask everyone that I interview on the show. And it's this: if the entire world could hear you at this moment, they have like some headphones or something, they could hear everything that you're saying and understand it completely, what would you tell them? What kind of practical advice or tips would you tell them? And why would it be?
Yeah, I would say don't wait to find time to take time for yourself and your mental health and your focus and your attention and your mental fitness. Make time, because your mind is going to convince you that you don't have time every single day. There's plenty of people who have meditated consistently and understand the value of it. And I'll talk to them a couple months later and they'll be like, yeah, you know, I know meditation's so key, but I just kind of, I've gotten really busy. Well, like everyone's really busy these days. So like you either make time or you don't. And the other thing I would say is, as far as the earlier reference I made to your emotional health, also understand the importance of processing your emotions and sitting with your emotions. And that's a skill too. And most people don't sit with their emotions. And so they bottle up and they get stuck in the body and they create disharmony. They create illness. They create all sorts of mental health issues because people are not addressing their emotions. And often the fastest way to clear out issues that you're having mentally within a reasonable degree, let's say, obviously some issues are more severe, but is to really master the art of processing your emotions. And people don't sit with them because when they sit with their emotions, a million thoughts come up and they get overwhelmed. And so they don't know how to do that. And there's a skill to focusing your attention on the sensations of the emotion in your body and ignoring the thoughts, right? And people will say, I can't ignore my thoughts. Well, you just keep refocusing. It's a meditative skill. Refocus on the emotion over and over and letting that flow through your body. But it's essentially just a guided track to get you in the habit of being able to process negative or bothersome emotions so that you don't avoid them or run away from them or get stressed about them, so that you can actually relax into them. They don't dictate your life or the thoughts that you're having. And then the other thing people can do is something called tapping, which people might be familiar with as emotional freedom technique or EFT. And there's a great YouTube channel called Brad Yates, Y-A-T-E-S, where he has like 10 years worth of guided tapping tracks. And that's just something where you tap your acupressure points on your body, and it essentially sends a counter conditioning signal to your amygdala, the fight or flight part of your brain that sends out stress chemicals when you encounter something or think something stressful. And it sends a counter conditioning signal, a calming signal to that part of your brain, so that now you're creating a new neural pathway and a new physical association, physiological association of calmness with the thing that was causing you stress. So in other words, I know we're kind of short on time here, but I just wanted to point those two tools out. One, the letting go technique, which you can find on my YouTube channel, the Mental Level, and two, EFT tapping. And those are huge tools in the toolkit for people to process their emotions, which is hugely, hugely important, because often people are like, well, I need to deal with my emotions, but they don't know how. They don't have a tool or a framework to do that. And if people have that earlier on in their life, that will serve them enormously going forward in their lives. So definitely check those things out. And if anyone has any questions, they can always email me at thementallevel@gmail.com. I'm passionate and I'm happy to help people with questions they may have about, these tools or these challenges or these issues, because really I do the things that I do to kind of help people integrate these tools and habits into their life. And so if there's any way I can help with that, I'm happy to.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Cyrus. And guys, as always, everything that Cyrus mentioned, as well as myself in today's episode of the Get Over Yourself podcast, will be in the description down below. Whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, YouTube, or whatever platform that you tune in from, make sure once again to go check out the description. Guys, also head on over to Cyrus's page, The Mental Level, if you enjoyed today's episode. Give him a follow. Check out some of his guided meditations and other practices that he has on his various streaming platforms. And guys, at the end of the day, just remember, it'll all be okay. Just take a step back and continue focusing on yourself and try meditating for the first time today.